Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Male Infertility Podcast. I'm Nick, and welcome back. If you listened to episode one, I just want to say thanks for doing it. And I actually had someone reach out to me, the real Sean Paul. I don't think it's the real Sean Paul, but it's someone called the real Sean Paul on Instagram reached out to me, and that was fantastic. He was going through something that was similar to me, I'll be honest, very similar. And we had a little chat over Instagram, and it was nice that only after one episode, someone has reached out to me. And I know it's not making a difference, but it was probably good for him to speak to somebody, even though we don't know each other. At the same time, it's good. It made me feel good as well, knowing that this guy had found me on Twitter, I think he said it was, and obviously felt able to reach out to me because he knew I was in the same situation. It's very rare that you probably meet someone in the street with the same situation as us. And we had a little back and forth. I won't go into his results or anything like that, but I can tell you that me and the wife have been back for our first chat with the doctor at the Leicester Royal Infirmary, and we've been passed on to the infertility clinic now. Obviously, for me, it's a support role for her now, and she went before we went on holiday to have a few blood tests, and everything was pretty good, but we got her AMH levels back, and unfortunately they were low, so it's not looking good for, well, not looking good is, we're not going to be going down the IUI route now, so there'll be no insemination. We're just going to go straight for the IVF. So we're going to have to wait 3 months, and then we're going to have our counselling, two rounds of counselling, and then we'll go from there. So that's everything up to date. So I'm going to go back now and continue the journey that we came on. So last week, it was just an introduction, really. So I just want to go back to the beginning of my tale. So I'm going to go back into the past before the wife with previous partners. And I'll be honest, I always found it a bit weird how after we were together, so when we split up or whatever, a few of them got pregnant pretty fast. And obviously at the time, you're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. You don't really think about it, do you? Obviously in hindsight now, it all makes sense. They were never going to get pregnant. It was never going to happen. Obviously, I didn't know that, and neither did they. Not that we were trying or anything, but, you know. So I always find that a bit weird. So I don't know if there's any guys out there who've thought the same as me. I thought it was funny that someone got pregnant after they split up with them. Obviously, just could be that way or whatever. But I just thought I'd share that. So moving forward now to me and the wife, trying for 3 years, I want to say, 3 years. So not intensely, but just casually trying, as you do. And then we thought, okay, we're going to make a push for this now. So, you know, it is. The wife's probably got her schedule on her phone, knowing when her cycle is, knowing when it's prime time. Those 2-3 days of, if we do it now, it could be the, you know, the time. And I'll be honest, like brutally honest, I'm sure I'm not the only one. It felt like the pressure was on, like immensely. So when it came down to it, like, you know, I don't know, when the pressure's off, it's all good. But when the pressure's on and, you know, you've got to perform, you've got to be a man, you've got to do all this and all that, I'll be honest, I felt stressed. Like, this probably sounds a bit crazy because, like I say, when the pressure is off, it's off and no issues whatsoever. But yeah, like, there was a struggle. So that went on for a few months, to be fair. And in the end, it got to a point where I was like, come on, what is going on here? Like, it's got to be more than just the stress, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, trying to think of ideas of, like, how to put it out your mind Like, she'd stop telling me that it was time, you know, the time. And, but in my head, I'm not daft. I can work it out. I'm sure there's blokes who think the same. So anyway, so it got to the point where I was like, look, I'm just going to go to the doctor and have a chat, see what's going on, see if they can do anything. So I went to the doctors, told them I was struggling, to say the least. And I'll be honest, I don't know if it was her who said it or me, but basically we got into the point where it was like, have a test, a sperm test. I was like, okay. So she's printed off this stuff and I've done the deed. Got to get down there in an hour or whatever it is. I think it's an hour. So I raced down to the place and put it in. Wait for I can't even remember how long it is. It's either a couple of days or a week. I can't remember exactly. And it came back as, from what I remember, it came back nothing, obviously. They didn't really give me many answers apart from that. And obviously, I'm thinking, what the hell? I'm not thinking, I don't even know what azoospermia is at this point. I've not, it's never even entered my head. So anyway, so I've done that. And then I've gone back, had a second test. Same result. Gone back again, had a third test. Yeah, the realization sinks in that I'm infertile and probably always have been. Obviously, it's one of those feelings that, well, it's kind of hard to describe, really. That knowing that the one thing that we've been put on this planet for, that you can't do it, I mean, I'll be honest, it's a bit rubbish. I was going to swear, but I won't. Keep it PG. But yeah, obviously, it makes you feel lackluster. Like, I'm going to be this, like, I'm going to be a man, you know what I mean? You're going to be a man, you're going to do the deed, do all of that. And you're like, you can't. And chances are, in my situation anyway, that it was never going to happen. But obviously, before this, I thought, oh, yeah, here we go. Definitely one. I want three kids. We have a nice big family because we haven't really got a big family, like myself on my side. And so I want to like expand the family, do all of that. But unfortunately, now, obviously, we will do anyway because we're going to do it. But through natural ways, if you know what I mean, that I can't do it. Like, literally, like, kicking the balls. Literally. And I am sure there are other people out there who feel the same. They must do. So if you are listening and you're having these thoughts, then trust me, there are people out there. And if you need to speak to them or speak to people, then do it. Open up. That's why I'm doing this. I'm opening to just help you guys and your partners to help everybody understand what you're going through. Because I know. Trust me. I'm there right now. Yeah, so anyway, so I'll leave that bit anyway. So obviously it's a no-go. We go back to the fertility center in Leicester and they give us the results. Finally they get all the numbers, the number crunching and all that, and it was weird. Like, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. I'll find out for next time though. The wife will remind me. So I'll do that. And then obviously we got referred to Dr. Ralph in London at the University College Hospital London on Westmoreland Street it was. So we went down there in January this year after waiting for, I want to say 5 months, I think it was, four or five months. So we went down there, saw Dr. Ralph, very pleasant guy. And yeah, we spoke about the micro-Ts. So for any of those who don't know what a micro-T's is, they go inside your balls in surgery. You're completely under, so general anaesthetic, and they will try and hunt down any sperm that they can. They'll look at it immediately under the microscope, and hopefully, if you do have some, then they'll freeze them down and be able to use them later for IVF or whatever, really, to try and find maybe a pocket of them somewhere where they could be. They could be hiding in there somewhere, as funny as that may sound. But yeah, so we went through it all. And then I think it was a 3-month waiting list after that. And I tell you what, I'll leave it there for this one. It's getting quite long. So next episode, we'll start off with the micro-Ts. And we'll talk about a few other bits as well. I'll probably go through maybe the mental state of things just to try and help you out. And if anybody's listening and they want to comment or they've got any questions, then please hit me up and maybe I can answer them next time for you. Or if you just want to like anonymously send me a message or whatever, then I'm happy to speak. I don't have to talk about it on here at all. But just know that I'm here for you. And if anybody else wants to be here for anybody else, then we can be. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. Check me out. Like I say, it's still under my voice acting page on Instagram or Twitter. So Nick Denton, VA. And hopefully I'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. And this is the MIP signing off.